I was at school in the 70s, and the pressure was to be cool. The pressure was not to be bigoted.
How do you define history, Mr. Rudge?
It's just one bloody thing after another.
Hit that boy!
I'll sing to him, each spring to him.
Some people ask me why I dress this way. A crazy drag queen, or perhaps you're gay.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. South African lawmakers civilize marriage. We'll go from stage to screen with the History Boys and a trans band, a band of sisters, and a star-backed soloist serenade the audiophile. All that and more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 18th, 2006. South Africa's National Assembly this week voted 230-41 with three abstentions to create a separate category of civil unions to legally recognize both heterosexual and same-gender couples. The legislation provides for the voluntary union of two persons, and each couple can choose to call it either a civil union or a marriage. The measure now goes to the National Council of Provinces, where passage is all but assured before President Thabo Mbeki is expected to sign it into law. The bill was drafted to comply with a South African Constitutional Court ruling last year that said the country's marriage law is unconstitutional because it discriminates against same-gender couples. The court set a December 1, 2006 deadline for Parliament to fix the law. Rather than amending the existing Marriage Act, the government created the Civil Union Bill that it hopes will satisfy the court mandate. A government spokesperson called it an interim measure and said that while the Marriage Act remains intact, it will eventually be revised.
The bill was supported by the African National Congress, or ANC, which has an overwhelming parliamentary majority, but there was strong opposition from the country's smaller religious-based parties. The Roman Catholic Church and many traditionalist leaders in South Africa also complained that the measure denigrated the sanctity of marriages between men and women. To address some of their concerns, the government's bill includes an opt-out clause, allowing both religious and civil officers to refuse to marry same-gender couples on moral grounds. Some legal analysts say that aspect of the legislation could be constitutionally challenged. The roots of this bill lie in many years of struggle, said South Africa's Defense Minister, Mosiwea Lekota, reminding lawmakers that many gays and lesbians were among ANC members who went into exile or to prison during the white racist rule. This country cannot afford to be a prison of time-worn prejudices, which have no basis in modern society, he said. Let us bequeath to future generations a society which is more democratic and tolerant than the one that was handed down to us. Lesbi-gay advocates were generally pleased with the new law. It demonstrates powerfully the commitment of our lawmakers to ensuring that all human beings are treated with dignity, said Fikile Vilakazi of the Joint Working Group, a national network of 17 gay and lesbian organizations. South Africa's post-apartheid constitution was the first in the world to include a ban on discrimination based on sexual orientation. The country will now become the first on the continent to legally recognize same-gender couples.
Mexico's ruling Conservative Party is considering a legal challenge to Mexico City's new civil unions law. The legislation allows same-gender couples living in the nation's capital to register their civil unions with authorities, granting them inheritance rights and other benefits typically given to heterosexually married spouses. The bill was signed into law earlier this week by Mexico City Mayor Alejandro Encinas and published in the city's official gazette on November 16th. It will take effect 120 days from that date and be the first such measure in the history of the conservative, predominantly Roman Catholic country. But Mexico City Assemblyman Miguel Ángel Errasti of the National Action Party, the party of President Vicente Fox and President-elect Felipe Calderón, cited Article 4 of Mexico's constitution to suggest that the civil unions law violates the legal definition of family. Article 4 states that men and women are equal before the law. This will protect the organization and development of the family. Mexico City legal counsel, Maria Estela Rijos, however, called that argument absurd because while the law guarantees legal rights for same-gender couples, it does not legalize same-gender marriage. It just involves recognizing that there are other forms of unions that have existed for many years, she said. Errasti didn't say when or if a constitutional challenge might actually be filed.
On the other side of the world, a gay Iranian man convicted of sodomy was hanged in front of hundreds of people this week in the western city of Kermanshah's ironically named Freedom Square. According to a report by the official Islamic Republic news agency, Shahab Darvishi was executed for organizing a corruption ring, deliberate assault, and lavat, defined as a homosexual relationship between two men. There was no mention of other defendants. It may be a rare official acknowledgement by Iranian authorities of an execution specifically for homosexual activity. Under Iran's Sharia penal code, sex between consenting same-gender adults is a capital crime, and government officials and religious leaders routinely condemn homosexuality.
12 gay and lesbian veterans have appealed a federal judge's rejection of a lawsuit challenging the U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. They argue that the policy denies gay men's and lesbians' constitutional rights to privacy, free speech, and equal protection. The Service Members Legal Defense Network, or SLDN, filed the plaintiff's appeal this week in the First Circuit Court of Appeal in Boston. U.S. District Judge George A. O'Toole threw out the lawsuit in April, ruling that Congress has the authority to establish the country's military policy. Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been upheld by appeals courts in several other jurisdictions, but the Federal Appeals Court in Boston has never been asked to rule on it.
Meanwhile, the SLDN is warning gay and lesbian service members to be very careful when going online. The legal group cautioned that information related to sexual orientation on the web could be grounds for dismissal under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They say that a military agency, the Army Web Risk Assessment Cell, is monitoring official and unofficial blogs and other websites. The Associated Press reported that soldiers with weblogs are now required to register them with their commanding officers. The SLDN advises lesbian gay military personnel not to access sex-related websites on a military computer, to erase cookies and history regularly, and not to indicate which branch or base they are affiliated with in any online communication.
And Pentagon guidelines that had classified homosexuality as a mental disorder have now put it among a list of conditions or defects that include bedwetting and fear of flying. Pentagon spokeswoman Cynthia Smith told reporters this week that homosexuality should not have been characterized as a mental disorder. A clarification has been issued. American psychological and psychiatric groups declassified homosexuality as a mental disorder in the early 1970s. James H. Scully, head of the American Psychiatric Association, which criticized the Pentagon's original mental disorder classification earlier this year, wrote David Chu, Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, to somewhat diplomatically complain that the revised document lacks the clarity necessary to resolve the issue. The guidelines have nothing to do with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but outline retirement or other discharge policies for service members with physical disabilities. The rules include sections that describe other specific conditions that could also lead to retirement, including stuttering, dyslexia, sleepwalking, motion sickness, obesity, insect venom allergies, bedwetting, and homosexuality.
Also issuing an arguably bizarre policy about gays and lesbians this week was the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. The document, Ministry to Persons with a Homosexual Inclination, was approved overwhelmingly during the Clerics Conclave in Baltimore, Maryland, and orders Catholics who minister to gays and lesbians to firmly adhere to the Church's teaching that homosexual attractions are disordered. The document says it's not a sin to be attracted to someone of the same gender, only to act on those feelings. Catholics with a homosexual inclination should remain celibate and be discouraged from making general public announcements about their sexual orientation, the statement said. Bishop Arthur Saratelli of New Jersey, who chairs the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Doctrine, claimed that the document was intended to be positive, pastoral, and welcoming, even as it compared homosexual temptation to envy, malice, or greed. A coalition of 15 Catholic groups that support the full inclusion of gays and lesbians denounced it as not at all pastoral, but rather harmful. Sam Sinnott, president of Dignity USA, an advocacy group for queer Catholics, said that the new guidelines reflect the bishop's ignorance about sexuality and would only further alienate LGBT Catholics from their church. This document recommends the most unhealthy thing to do, he said, which is to stay emotionally and spiritually in the closet.
But finally, charges have been dropped against a U.S. Presbyterian minister accused of breaking church law by performing a marriage ceremony for two women. Reverend Janet Edwards of the Community of Reconciliation Church in Pittsburgh presided at the June 2005 wedding of Nancy McCone and Brenda Cole. The Permanent Judicial Commission of the Pittsburgh Presbytery unanimously voted this week to dismiss the charges against Edwards on a technicality. They were lodged by a handful of offended parishioners several days after a filing deadline. The Constitution of the Presbyterian Church USA reserves marriage for a man and a woman, although ministers may bless other types of holy unions. This dismissal constitutes neither a vindication of the accused nor any finding with respect to the subject, according to a statement from the commission. A member of the church's prosecuting committee said his group is looking into whether charges can be refiled. A Northern California Regional Presbyterian Commission ruled earlier this year that the Reverend Jane Spa of San Rafael, California, acted within her rights as an ordained minister when she married two lesbian couples in 2004 and 2005. That ruling is still on appeal. Edwards said she was relieved to not be facing a church trial, at least for now, but hopes dialogue on same-gender unions will continue. About 200 people showed up at a rented hall for what was to have been the start of her trial, most of them supporters who had received invitations from Edwards to attend. Janet wants the world to come, it read. Feel free to invite anyone.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 18th, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm John Beaupre.
You'll be able to gossip about a perfect alibi when you're playing on my team later in the program. The big screen adaptation of the 5-time Tony Award-winning play The History Boys features the same talent that originally brought the production to the Broadway stage. This Way Out's Steve Pride has a preview along with comments by its gay director, legendary British lead actor, and a couple of the boys.
In the timetable, our esteemed headmaster has given these periods the dubious title of General Studies. I will let you into a little secret, boys. There is no such thing as general studies. General studies is a waste of time. Knowledge is not general, it is specific.
Taking place in a British high school, or grammar school as it's called in the UK, The History Boys tells the story of a group of 8 boys prepping for their university entrance exam in the early 1980s. While an ensemble piece, at its core, it's the story of young, gay, and Jewish Posner, Lastud Denken, with whom Posner is not so secretly in love, and two very different teachers. There's Hector, the ancient yet charismatic general studies teacher, who they idolize even though he gropes their crotches when he gives them rides on his motorcycle. And there's Irwin, a young gay teacher hired to show the boys techniques that will grab the examiner's attention. One of the most striking things about the History Boys is the casual acceptance of sexuality by the students and the faculty. Outgay director Nicholas Hintner explains.
Yeah, I have to say that was my experience, and it might have been exceptional. I was at school in the 70s, and I think that was because the pressure was to be cool. The pressure was not to be bigoted. And I was at a school very similar to this school. But I don't think that this is in any sense supposed to be a representative slice of reality. That's not the kind of film it is, not the kind of play it was. It's very much the expression of a particular playwright's. It's the way he has chosen to explore certain notions about what education should be for, what history is about.
How do you define history, Mr. Rudge?
It's just one bloody thing after another.
Hit that boy! Hit him!
Now, I did have the experience of being taught by a Hector who had none of his bad points, only his good points. And we were completely besotted by the things that he was besotted by. His range of reference, his cultural enthusiasms became ours. And I think that's what the film imagines. It would be nonsense to say that in a typical English classroom in the 1980s, a boy would be standing up and singing. But with this particular teacher, he does, because it's what this particular teacher has made these kids excited about.
Actor Richard Griffiths is amazing as the older teacher. In fact, he won the Tony last year for his portrayal of Hector on Broadway. But he recently got into hot water when he was quoted as saying he didn't understand homosexuality. But the heterosexual actor has often played gay roles and told me the press got it wrong.
That's yet another embanglement of something I was saying about Mr. Hector. If you travel 50 miles an hour on a motorbike and you're wearing oxhide gauntlets up to your elbows and you reach to the person, your passenger, A, is there sufficient sensitivity left in your hands to actually identify that there is a person there? B, if you touch them, how would you know what you're touching? I don't get what the turn on is. Where is the gratification? Do you see? And that became, I can't understand homosexuals because I don't understand how they get gratification. That's just garbage, isn't it? All I was saying was that I can understand the interposition of a very thin membrane of rubber. That speaks to me. But not oxhide.
Actor Samuel Barnett, who plays the youngest of the history boys, Hosner, explains why the boys tolerate Hector's wandering hands.
It's not acceptable. It's indefensible and inappropriate and it's abusive, but they're not like a normal group of boys. They've been through school. They're at a completely different level trying for Oxford and Cambridge. And it's like they're on a sort of higher plane. They see it as a rite of passage, this thing with Hector. They hero worship him and adore him. In fact, Posner is the only one who really wants to go on the bike, and he doesn't get to go on because he's too young sexually and emotionally, so Hector doesn't touch him. But I think it's more like a rites of passage, something that the boys just deal with. It's not so abusive that it screws them up. And in fact, the one person it could really affect, Posner, never gets to go on the back of the bike anyway.
Posner is enamored of the obvious charms of his straight school chum, Dankin. And although he doesn't return Posner's attention, when it comes to Irwin, the new teacher, Dankin is straight, but perhaps not that narrow.
Would you do it with him?
Yeah, I wondered about that. I might bring a little bit of sunshine into his life. It's only a wank after all.
What makes you think he'd do it with you?
This leads to one of the more surprising twists in the plot, but Dominic Cooper, who plays Dankin, says it's a twist that makes perfect sense.
He's an 18-year-old who is extraordinarily sure of himself and knows how to get what he wants. He finds this character of Irwin, this new teacher that comes along, kind of fascinating. And he can't get that teacher's attention or attract that teacher via his academia because he's not clever enough. He will never be as bright as Irwin. He understands that Irwin is attracted to him and he manipulates that situation. And that was difficult to play because you don't want him being nasty. He can very easily come across as someone that puts that teacher in the corner and manipulates him and does it for his own benefit, when really what he's trying to do and what he can't understand that this fascinating, kind of outgoing, outspoken, wonderful teacher is so kind of inward and can't let himself go or live his life. So it's actually a very positive thing. And I think because he's such a confident guy, Dankin, he just can't understand why this guy won't live his life in the same way that he lives his life through his academic teaching.
Watching the History Boys, I wished I had gone to a high school in England where they sing show tunes when they're not quoting poetry or dialogue from Betty Davis movies. But according to Samuel Barnett, who sings several songs to his classmates in the film, I would be disappointed.
In the same way that they accept Posner getting up and singing a song, they also accept the way they speak to one another, and they also accept Posner's sexuality, and they accept Hector, and it's not how it is in reality, I don't think.
I'll sing to him each spring to him and worship the trousers that cling to him. Bewitched, bothered and bewildered am I.
This has been a conversation with Nicholas Hintner, Richard Griffiths, Samuel Barnett, and Dominic Cooper. The History Boys is being released in the U.S. by Fox Searchlight Pictures. More info can be found online at foxsearchlight.com and, as always, prideonscreen.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Pack up all my care and woe. Here I go singing low.
Hello, I'm Dr. Robert Simmons, Jr. of Lebanon, Ohio, a long-time This Way Out listener and donor. In memory of my mother, Mabel Simmons, I'm issuing a matching challenge to supporters of this volunteer-driven nonprofit operation. Please visit thiswayout.org to see how your help to keep this program on the air will now be worth twice as much. You'll also get a tax deduction if you're in the United States, and you'll find some unique holiday gifts there too. Again, please log on to thiswayout.org. We'll all be very thankful.
The diversity of the queer music world is demonstrated yet again in this month's Audiophile.
First full-length album by the band Lipstick Conspiracy is called A Perfect Alibi. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Lipstick Conspiracy is an all-transgendered band from San Francisco, and according to group leader Serafina Maricino, their music covers a lot of ground.
The new album, A Perfect Alibi, is a romp through all genres and decades of pop music to arrive at what we consider to be something modern and uniquely us, and a little something for everyone, whether it's pop, rock, country rock, even blues.
Find out more about Lipstick Conspiracy and their album A Perfect Alibi at www.lipstickconspiracy.com.
Spears is back with the eagerly awaited follow-up to his debut album, Boy Howdy. The new CD is called Playin' on My Team.
Well, it's me singing about other guys, as usual, in every style from 60s rock and roll to urban techno hop, with a cast of all-stars backing me up. And we got fun beats, extra crispy guitars, juicy harmonies, and gay as a $3 bill. Plus ridiculous pictures of me in various states of undress, you know, so what's not to like?
He went away, and you hung around, and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice. My boyfriend's back, now you're gonna be in trouble.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
When you see him coming, better cut out on the double.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
You've been spreading lies that I was untrue. He's coming after you.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
You can learn more about Jay Spears and his album, Playing on My Team, at www.jayspears.com.
On the dance floor, feel the sound.
Sister Funk is a five-piece all-female band from Connecticut. Band member Denise Troy tells us about their third album called Gossip.
It's definitely more edgy than our two previous CDs. We've had two new member changes. We try to stay true to the old school vibe, but this time we infused it with a more contemporary sound and feel.
Watch out, folks, when you walk away. She'll start to tell us all the things you say. And wait and see. She'll start again, and soon you'll believe she is not your friend. It's a hit and run. Just turn the pop till you go on run. It's a hit and run. You're distressed, she thinks it's fun. Don't trust that girl, she's having fun. Let it loud, just for fun. You better listen to us. In her eyes, you can see there's nothing true, so don't believe. Whoa, Jesus.
Find out more about the album Gossip by Sister Funk at www.sisterfunk.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson, inviting you to tune in to This Way Out the last week of December for our 2006 Audiophile Year in Review annual special. Keep listening.
As I live and breathe, a fairy. Cool it, Jiminy.
Nurse Pimento is back at the duty desk next week with some very queer music and comedy in a special double dose of
Stranger Than Straight.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Tanya Kane Perry, John Beaupre, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, Steve Pride, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out anytime, exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from you, our listeners, and we thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how your help to keep this program on the air is now worth twice as much to us, and choose from some special CD thank you gifts. You can email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to us at Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on Fresh FM, Nelson Marlboro, New Zealand, KPOV, Bend, Oregon, WDFH, Ossining, New York, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. We'll all stay tuned.